Chapter 12. Vicissitude. A change of circumstances in life or fortune. From Latin, vicissitudo, alteration. Or from Latin, vicissim, by turns. From Latin, vic, turn, change. Despite being probably the weakest of the five great shinobi villages, Tsunagakure makes a damn impressive sight, that's for sure. Whoa! Naruto sounded awestruck, too. Kurama-ni, why'd they build their village like that? Kurama's not entirely certain when he became the resident history professor. But since there was no one to answer except Fuji, who treats villages as being convenient concentrations of Oden, but otherwise just cute little human peculiarities, he sighs and answers. Because it's a good defense, Kit. The cliffs can keep out an invading army, and they've got terraces on the outside so that Tsuna Shinobi can stand there and attack without being in too much danger. See that narrow crack in the cliff? That's the only way for most people to get in. So the Tsuna Shinobi know exactly who's in their village all the time. Like Konoha's walls and gates. But you can get around the gate really easily, Naruto points out, seemingly confused by this lapse of logic. And of course he would know that, at six and a bit of change. Kurama was mostly asleep for Naruto's adventures outside the walls, but he remembers enough. Yeah, he agrees, amused. And we're gonna do the same here. If that bastard and his freak squad manage to track us here, I don't want them finding you just by asking at the gate. Freak squad? Who are they? Naruto leans back to look up at him, blue eyes curious. Are those the shinobi Hokage Jiji sent after you? From the forest? Fuji huffs, shaking out her tails, and then leaps nimbly down the side of a sand dune toward the start of the rocky ground edging Tsuna's cliffs. Don't worry about it, Naruto-chan, she says cheerfully. My illusions will cover our tracks for a while. And Kurama-sama is too fast and smart for anyone to catch. She seems to be forgetting just how it is they met, but Kurama isn't about to remind her. That bit of humiliation will molder unrecalled until the end of time, if he has any say in it. Right, he agrees instead. Squinting up at the setting sun, he adds, Fuji, can you head around the west side and then let us down? We can go over the cliffs where the sun will be in the guard's eyes. Keep us from having to wait for nightfall. I hope you don't think you're getting rid of me that easily, Kurama-sama. She huffs, even as she drifts left, leaping large cracks in the ground and veering around outcroppings of stone. This is the most fun I've had in decades, so I'm definitely coming with you. Yay! Naruto cheers, leaning forward to bury his face in her white fur. Can you be my Fujine? I don't see why not, the vixen says loftily, though Kurama can read both pleasure and embarrassment in the twitch of her tails and the flick of her ears. If you really have the QB inside of you, that makes us almost kin anyways. All foxes look up to the QB after all. Having nine tails makes you practically a god. Personally, Kurama doesn't quite see the appeal of being a pack mule and running for miles on end, but he supposes that it's probably a bit more exciting than hunting mice and birds all day. You'll have to stay small, he warns her, though he reaches out to give her shoulder a gentle stroke in thanks, and nearby if possible. If things go south, I want to be able to leave in a hurry. I'm sure whatever you plan to do will turn out perfectly, Kurama-sama, Fuji says stubbornly. And even if it doesn't, I'll help however I can. Me too! Naruto chimes. He lets go of Fuji to make the seal for the Shadow Clones and grins like a conquering hero. I can be an army! This is not exactly what Kurama intended, teaching him that. But it's Naruto. The matter was bound to come up eventually, and Kurama already knows exactly how much good it will do to argue with him. Namely, none at all. Let's save that for a last resort, huh? He counters, painfully amused, and wraps an arm around the little boy's waist to keep him from overbalancing. Fuji hears good. The vixen skids to a stop and crouches to let them slide off. As soon as their feet are steady, she shakes herself, then lets go of her transformation. A much more normal-sized fox bounces out of the smoke, and Kurama leans down so she can leap up onto his shoulders. She curls around his neck, peeking out from under the fringe of hair, and yips cheerfully. Ready to go, Kurama-sama! Kurama chuckles, then scoops Naruto up and slings the boy over his back. Arms and legs around me if you can, Kit, he orders. We're gonna have to go fast for a bit. There are 6 terraces leading up, each one a good 2 meters wide. The setting sun is behind him, eye searing red and gold spreading out across the horizon, and Kurama can't sense any overt hostility from the path up. The only chakra signatures he can feel are heading away along the curve of the cliff face, and he really hopes it stays that way. Surely, surely he's due to have something go right by now. He's in Naruto's body. Surely his luck can't be all bad. Small arms curl around his neck, careful of Fuji, legs wrapping around his waist. And Kurama can't fight a smile as he reaches up to touch Naruto's hands in silent reassurance. Well, definitely not all bad, though parts could use improving. Ready? He asks, and gets 2 sounds of confirmation. Taking a breath, he channels just a trickle of chakra, not enough to be noticed, but enough to give him some power, and leaps, bouncing up the first 3 terraces. No one shouts, there are no alarms, not even any traps, and Kurama lets himself breathe out. He dodges left, tracing his way a little further west, and then clears the next 2 levels in quick succession. Still nothing. It would almost be ridiculous, except the tempo of Kurama's heartbeat says it really isn't. He pauses again, checking for chakra. But as luck would have it, there's what feels like a civilian district below. There are a few scattered chakra signatures, but it seems like this is one of Suna's poorer areas. Shinobi aren't generally ones to be poor. If they're that bad at their jobs, they tend to just be dead. So those who do live here are scattered, the exception rather than the rule. It's a stroke of fortune that Kurama is more than willing to take. With all the speed he can muster, he leaps forward, clearing the last terrace and hurling himself right over the lip of the cliff. There's another road carved out of the rock about halfway down, and Kurama flips over the side and down into thick shadows. In the alley, someone startles, dropping something, but Kurama doesn't stick around to see if they'll raise an alarm. He bolts into the deep gloom of the surrounding buildings, with the wall looming overhead, and lets the darkness swallow him. Everybody okay back there? He asks, as soon as they're a safe distance from curious ears, tucked back behind what smells like a restaurant. Kurama eyes the handful of neatly stacked bins sitting outside the back door for a moment, then drops to one knee and lets Naruto slide down. Can we do that again? Naruto sounds breathless, and he's grinning widely when he grabs Kurama's hand. Kurama-ni, that was so cool! Despite himself, Kurama chuckles and reaches out to ruffle the messy blonde hair. Glad you approve, Kit. Fuji, you good playing a fur ruff? From where her head is resting daintily on her paws, draped across his shoulders, Fuji makes a vaguely offended sound, and her 3 tails tickle his arm as they flick. I'm very happy where I am, Kurama-sama, she says disdainfully, though the view would be better if you were taller. Oh, fuck off, Kurama grumbles, and tries his best to scowl at Naruto when the kid breaks into giggles. Hey, knock it off. We're related, remember? This is probably as tall as you're going to get, too. Naruto grins up at him, grabbing for his hand. I like you like this, Kurama-ni, he says, magnanimously. You don't need to be taller. It does Kurama's self-esteem as a fearsome former Bijuu no favors, but he melts a little under that. Thanks, Kit, he says, and his voice is gruff, because he won't allow himself to become choked up. Not right now. Wanna walk, or should I carry you? I'll walk. Naruto bounces with barely contained enthusiasm. Where are we going now, Kurama-ni? Kurama pauses, stretching out his senses as subtly as he can, and concentrates. Shukaku's energy is everywhere, scattered thick across the village and through the sandstone of the buildings, because he's always been a greedy, grasping bastard. Still, the original is easy enough to find. Gaara is angry at something, and buildings are suffering for it. Shukaku is too close to the surface for Kurama's comfort, lashing against the seals holding him. And while they're not about to break, they're fragile. Far too much so for Kurama's peace of mind. Still, Kurama supposes, it's a good enough opportunity. He needs to slap a few modifiers onto Shukaku's seal to filter out whatever crazy he can. The stuff caused by being improperly bound for so long, at least. Shukaku's natural crazy, he unfortunately can't fix. Sorry, change of plans. We need to move fast again, he says, boosting Naruto up onto his back once more and taking off at a run as soon as the boys got a secure grip. The kid I mentioned needs some help, so we're going to do that first. Across the village, something explodes. Dust fills the air in a wide cloud, erupting upwards. And very distantly, Kurama can pick out the smell of blood on the hot wind. So Kurama's already started going nuts. That's fine. Naruto will bring him out of it soon enough. And it's probably a recent change, so he's not mired in it yet. The only issue here is dealing with Shukaku, and Kurama doesn't think he'll have too much of a problem with that. It's easy to tell when they're getting close, because everyone is running the opposite direction, even the shinobi. Kurama wants to scoff and call them all cowards, but just sets his teeth and sticks to the edges of the retreating crowd, trying not to be noticed. A few people cast him glances, but most are too occupied with getting to safety to make note of someone moving at shinobi speeds in the shadows. Up ahead, the streets empty out completely, and Shukaku's murderous chakra gets heavier. Kurama pauses, glancing around, and then leaps up the side of a flat-topped apartment building. Stay here, he tells Naruto. Fuji, keep an eye on him. I have to go beat some sense into the idiot's thick head, and I don't want either of you getting caught in the crossfire. The vixen yips softly, hopping down and going to wind around Naruto's legs. Before Kurama can move, though, Naruto catches his hand again and asks warily, You're gonna come back, right, Kurama-ni? Of course I am, Kit. Kurama promises, leaning down to press a kiss to his bright hair. You are the most important thing in the world to me. I will always come back to you. That gets him a smile as bright as the sun. Good luck, Kurama-ni. I know you can win. Kurama chuckles, rising to his feet. Shukaku roars, clearly about to break free entirely, and it makes him turn, leap down into the epicenter of the destruction. He takes a breath and lets it go, his chakra rising in a corrosive, blood-red surge to meet the Ichibis, and then shouts, Oi, Shukaku, what's got your panties in a bunch this time, you tetchy little bastard? Within the dust and rubble, something stills, then stirs. Kurama flicks a hand out, and wind whips past him, just enough to dispel the cover. What was once probably a nice square is now little more than a wreckage of shattered stones and debris, clothes and other things scattered through it. In the center, the area around him, seething with animated sand, stands Gaara, no more than Naruto's age, with dead eyes and sand coating his body. Even as Kurama watches, more slides over him, and it's easy to recognize the beginnings of his transformation into a human-sized version of Shukaku. "You," Gaara says, and it's layered with Shukaku's deeper voice. "Don't call my name like you know me, puny little human. I am, the great and terrible Ichibi, possessing the fewest tails of any of the tailed beasts, but somehow still so high and mighty." Kurama scoffs, crossing his arms over his chest and narrowing his eyes. "Look at you. Do you really think this is what the sage meant our powers for, you idiot? You're corrupting a child, and you're even doing that badly. For all the times he gives in, how many times does he resist you? How many times has little Gaara here shown just how much stronger than you he is?" Shukaku howls with rage, lashing out, but Kurama sees it coming and hurls himself to the side, then shoves chakra towards his feet and flips up and over, landing on Shukaku's far side, even as Shukaku spins towards the spot Kurama used to be. With a snarl of victory, Kurama lunges forward, chakra gathering in his palm, and slaps a hand against Shukaku's sand. Fire blooms beneath his touch, roaring out, and the heavy coating of earth crackles as it hardens. Shukaku screams, whipping around, but Kurama's already gone, landing lightly behind his shoulder. "I'll kill you!" Shukaku screams. "Your blood will soak my sand, because no one can surpass my Ugh!" Another wave of fire falls away, and Kurama smirks. He drops into a crouch, flexing his clawed hands against the sandy earth, and taunts. "How about a test then, little brother? My speed and fire against your sand and automatic defense. The winner gets that little boy you're torturing. Sound fair?" Seeing that the tanuki is about to start screaming again, he adds with all the casualness he can manage. "Oh wait, never mind. You always were too scared to bet against me, Shukaku. I guess a few centuries hasn't changed anything, huh?" There's a long moment of silence, and then Shukaku hisses like a tea kettle releasing steam. "Kurama," he growls. "I heard the humans locked you away as well. You managed to consume that little creature's soul entirely and take their body? I'm impressed." The memory of his Naruto falling, empty-eyed and devoid of life, hits Kurama so hard and suddenly that for a moment he can't even breathe. His entire chest seizes as pain lances through him, and he snarls automatically. His chakra redoubles, lashing furiously against Shukaku's, and Kurama throws himself forwards. Edged with power, his long nails score deep into hardened sand, and he blurs away before Shukaku can even turn to catch him. Another hit, scoring deep into one of the tanuki's arms. Another to the back of his head. Another, another, another. The perfect balance of chakra caught in the palm of his hand and spinning like a hurricane. Negative and positive, dark and light, caught up together in a violet-edged snarl of power and intent, but weaker than ever before, not nearly enough to kill. "It was a gift!" Kurama screams above Shukaku's roar of frustration. "A sacrifice for me! I can't help you understand right now, you self-obsessed bastard, but one day I will make you!" He doesn't let the Bijudama go, but leaps forward, aiming straight for Shukaku's chest. It won't hurt Gaara, not at half power like this, but an impact like a detonation, and it's like being caught in the heart of a sandstorm. Sand explodes outwards, stinging and biting, and Kurama throws up an arm to shield his face. There's a ripple of chakra as the pressure vanishes entirely. Shukaku retreating with the last wounded roar as a small form becomes visible through the sand. Red hair glows in the light of sunset as Gaara wavers, and Kurama automatically steps forward to catch him. The small, fragile body tumbles into his arms, and Kurama lifts him, murmuring mindlessly soothing nonsense as he tucks the kid's head under his chin. Chakra pools in his free hand, and he presses it to the back of Gaara's neck, etching the seal into his skin as gently as he's able. Gaara makes a soft sound of surprise and faint pain, and Kurama strokes his hair, whispering, "Sorry, sorry, is that better? Can you hear him anymore?" There's a long, careful pause, and then Gaara looks up, wide aquamarine eyes staring at him for a second, and then Gaara breathes, "Mother?" "He ain't your mother, kid," Kurama says dryly. "It's a good thing, believe me." He reaches up, touching the kanji that's only just started to scar over on Gaara's forehead, and adds, "Your real mother loved you. She poured all her love into your sand right before she died. Why do you think your automatic defense is so strong?" Gaara's breath catches and he drops his eyes. "You shouldn't. Don't touch me," he says, trying for anger, but it wobbles as it comes out. I'll kill. "You won't." Kurama hesitates, then ruffles his hair. "Besides, I can handle Shukaku, kid. Leave my stupid little brother to me. You've got more important things to worry about. Like friends." "I have no friends," Gaara says. And that, at least, comes out sharp, with an edge of fury that means the pain still hasn't healed. "No one loves me, and I don't want them to. I'll live only for myself. Mother understands." "Not your mother," Kurama repeats, rolling his eyes. "Damn Tanuki, always making things harder than they have to be." When the 6-year-old starts to jerk in his arms, sand hissing threateningly around them, he just shifts the boy to his hip, then leaps up to the top of a collapsed wall, and from there jumps back to the rooftop where he left Naruto. "Kurama-ni!" Naruto shouts the instant they touch down. He rushes forward, throwing himself at Kurama as the redhead crouches down, and accidentally catches Gaara in the enthusiastic hug as well. "Kurama-ni, that was amazing! You've got to be the best shinobi ever! Can you teach me to be as awesome as you? Can you? Please?" "No one's as awesome as me, kid," Kurama laughs, setting Gaara down and raising a brow when he skitters backwards, away from Naruto's bright grin. "But I think you might manage to get close someday, with a lot of training and a bit of luck." He waves a hand between the two boys. "Naruto, Gaara, Gaara, Naruto, you're both Jinchuriki." Naruto's entire expression lights up, and he reaches forward to catch Gaara's hand. Gaara flinches, the scattered sand around their feet whirling closer. But Naruto just beams. "Let's be friends," he proposes. "I've never had a friend besides Hokage Jiji before, but I've always wanted one." For a long moment, Gaara looks like he can't decide whether to kill them all, turn and run, or throw himself at Naruto and not let go. He stares at the blonde for a moment, then shifts his gaze to Kurama, who gives him a small, crooked smile. "You'll be fine, Gaara," he says softly. "I tweaked the seal holding Shukaku back. It'll take a lot more than just you getting angry or scared for him to escape now, so you don't have to worry about hurting anyone." Blue-green eyes go very wide, and Gaara looks down at where Naruto is still clutching his hand. I always wanted a friend, too," he admits, just barely above a whisper. "You'll be my friend?" "Yeah," Naruto agrees, all but vibrating with excitement. He turns, bouncing in place, and crows, "Kurama-ni, Kurama-ni, look, I got my first friend!" Kurama laughs, reaching out to ruffle two spiky heads. "Yeah, kid, I can see that." And it's a trace of a good memory, of Gaara and Naruto standing side by side, Kage and Shinobi and still best friends. And he just, it's good. So good. With a soft laugh that nearly catches in his throat, Kurama leans forward and pulls the two pint-sized terrors into his arms, catching them both tightly. They go stiff and startled, but Naruto hugs back the moment he recovers. Gaara is a little slower, but carefully, tentatively, his arms curl around Kurama's shoulder and hang on. "Why were you so angry, Gaara?" Naruto asks curiously, pulling back, and Gaara tenses again. He doesn't move, just buries his face in Kurama's shoulder a little more firmly. "My father tried to have me killed," he says. "He sent an assassin after me, and he didn't hurt me, but I was just so mad, and... it hurt," Kurama finishes for him. He rubs Gaara's back lightly, thinking of the seal he just placed on the kid. The armor of sand should be enough to keep him safe, even with Shukaku pushed down, but what if it's not? The Kazekage is a bastard, and what if he sends other assassins? It's not the best situation. "Why don't you come with us?" Naruto asks, blue eyes intent. "Gaara, we're going to cool places. Kurama-ni already took us to River Country and all across Wind Country, and I'm pretty sure it's okay for you to come. Right, Kurama-ni?" Kurama supposes trusting Shukaku to look after two little kids was always a bit of a long shot to begin with. Besides, what's to lose? Leaving Gaara behind will just upset Naruto. And if the kid dies because of something Kurama did to him, well, he's never loved Gaara the way that he loved Naruto, but the redhead was always tolerable. A friend, even when he was no longer a Jinchuriki. And Shukaku was fond of him. That's reason enough to take care of this emotionally fragile, miniaturized version. "Sure," he agrees, and doesn't let himself sigh. "Fuji, you good to carry one more?" From where she's been perched on a low stone wall, watching the reunion, Fuji huffs. "Of course, Kurama-sama," she says. "It's not like he's all that heavy." Kurama sinks back on his heels, checking Gaara's face. "Do you want to come with us, kid?" he asks gently. "You don't have to, and I don't want to force you into anything. We're traveling, trying to find somewhere safe, so it's a bit hectic." For a long moment, Gaara stares at him. Then that assessing gaze shifts to Naruto and holds on entreating blue, and Gaara swallows. "Yes," he says in a very small voice. "Yes, I want to go with you. Your friends," Kurama finishes for him, still gentle. "Okay, let's get you home so you can grab some stuff while I find us some supplies."
"Maybe you can even get shoes, Kurama-ni," Naruto offers cheerfully.
Kurama scoffs. "Those things are fucking uncomfortable. I'll keep my feet on the ground like they're meant to be, thanks. Come on. Gaara, you got a preference? I can carry you on my back or normally. I think Fuji still has dibs on my shoulders." That gets him another wide-eyed look.
"You're going to carry me?" he asks.
"Oh, damn Suna to the fiery pits of the deepest level of hell. Damn Konoha, too, while he's at it. Little kids shouldn't act like they've been offered the world on a platter for something so normal." It takes effort, but Kurama stomps on his rage and opens his arms. "Yeah," he says. "Come here, squirt. Naruto, make like a monkey, would you?" Naruto cheers and throws himself onto Kurama's back, scrambling up and wrapping his legs around him. An instant later, Fuji flows into place like a particularly furry scarf, and Kurama raises a brow at the only holdout. Gaara looks between him and his outstretched arms, then offers a very faint, wary smile and steps forward. He grabs Kurama's shoulders as Kurama lifts him, clinging tightly, and Kurama shifts to resettle the weight. "All right, which way?" he asks. Gaara points to a street several blocks from the Kazekage's building.
"The one without lights on," he says, and then tucks his face into the curve of Kurama's throat.
Kurama chuckles and strokes his hair,
then ruffles Naruto's and leaps lightly across the narrow street, heading for the indicated house. He'll let the kid grab what he wants, maybe ask him to lend Naruto some clothes, and see what he can scrounge from the kitchen for supplies. By then it should be dark enough for them to make it over the cliffs unseen. Maybe Suna was a bit of a dead end, but at least it got the freak squad off their tails. And besides, now that Kurama takes a moment to consider it, Matatabi has always been a hell of a lot more motherly than Shukaku, and is generally pretty reasonable, too. Maybe Kurama doesn't know exactly where Matatabi and the Nibis host are right now, but surely they can't be that hard to find. On his back, Naruto laughs, bright and happy, and out of the corner of his eye, Kurama can just barely see Gaara smiling back, still tentative, but already gaining confidence. Kurama smiles too, entirely despite himself. Whatever, it'll all work out.